We left off last week discussing a little bit about the relationship of Kosev concerning Kosev Shabbos and Kosev in other areas of Halacha. And we began to get onto it because of a statement of some Rishonim, or Zavu and others, that the Halachic definition of Kosev is limited to Ksav Ashuri. It only applies to official Sefer Torah Ksav or the Greek as well. As the Gemara itself says, that Greek has a certain unique status in Halacha in terms of Ksiva. But other Ksav, you write in English, you write in Russian, you write in Japanese, any other characters that you use, so then Kosev El Lashonis is not going to be Chayev on Shabbos. That was the Chiddush Gadol of the Zeruah. So we saw this began to relate to a general question about what exactly the relationship between Ksiva Sefer Torah, 12 Mezuzahs, is in relationship to Ksiva on Shabbos. So to continue along the theme of last week, we have to really analyze the Gemara that appears in the Sefer Shabbos in Perek Habona, the 12th Perek of the Sefer Shabbos, where the Gemara discusses about the following. The Gemara discusses that if a person writes letters on Shabbos, letters that in the Sefer Torah, Tefillah and Mezuzahs would require Tagin. That's the Gemara in the Sefer Menachos. The Gemara, most of the many of the sugyas about Ksiva Sefer Torah and Mezuzahs appear. The Gemara discusses the halacha of what's called Tagin, what we call the Shabbos guest. These letters, the Shinayim.
Again, about aesthetic.
That is.
Let's see what the different men all done. Okay, is it a gun now? What's the static?
I can stand up the mic a little better position.
Any better at all? Still static? Is it a little bit better?
No, can't. It's really difficult to hear.
Still static.
I don't know what it is. You know, let me switch to the phone.
That was better. That was better when just that.
Probably didn't do anything. Is it any better now?
Yes.
Better now. Maybe I was too close to the mic. Now the mic just fell. Hold on. Okay, tell me now. I went a little bit further back. Is it any better now? Better. Okay, good. Good for me. Okay. All right. I guess we have to. Okay. We gotta stay as far away as possible. Okay. Just tell me again if it starts to act up. So the Gemara tells us in the 12th paragraph of Shabbos concerning if a person is writing letters on Shabbos, letters that would normally require tagin. Those are the letters of Shatnez Getz, Shinayin, Tess, Nun, Zayin, Gimel Tzadik. So those letters in the Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzahs require tagin. If a person wrote those letters on Shabbos and didn't put on the little crown on the letters, the Gemara says he wouldn't be chayav for writing on Shabbos. So that's a very, very startling statement. So somebody showed him, said, what that statement must mean is as follows, that two tremendous chidushim. Chidush number one is that the tagin are ma'akev in the Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzahs. If you have a letter that requires tagin and the tagin are missing, so then the entire Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzahs is apostle. Why would that be so? So apparently, tagin are an integral part of the oath. The Gemara tells us that if you're missing a letter from Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzahs, or even if you're missing part of a letter, even if most of the letter is written, but there's a very, very small part missing. Like the Gemara says, of the Kutzah Shoyud, different opinions what that means. But the right leg and the left leg and the top part, different nuances what the Kutzah Shoyud is. But if you're missing even the smallest part of any letter, that could sometimes disqualify the entire letter. So apparently, the Gemara is telling us, Tagin are not considered to be just something tangential to the letter, but they're actually an integral part of the letter per se. So that's a tremendous Chiddush. And number two, the Gemara seems to be telling us, is that Tagin are such an integral part of a letter, and the standards for Kosev for Shabbos follow the standards of Kosev and Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzahs. If it doesn't qualify as a letter for Hilchas Ksiva Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzahs, then it doesn't qualify as a letter in order to be Chayev on Shabbos. That's a double, double of the Chiddush and Gabi Chiddush. And the Rishonim actually would take issue with each of both of those chiddushim. But again, the simple pshat in the Gemara is that since you require tagin for the Sefer Torah to be kosher, the melech, if you write in that manner on Shabbos, you wouldn't be chayav. So many, many Rishonim are not sure that either one of those two statements are true. There are some Rishonim who say that even in Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, it is kosher b'di'evet without tagin. The Shulchan Aruch actually passes that way. That b'di'evet, if you have a Sefer Torah, it's missing a couple of the crowns here and there, the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos are still kosher. All the Gemara means is that if the person was planning on writing the tagin, he's a cipher, he's getting paid $1,000 for a parshas, and he's planning on putting the tagin, and he didn't put the tagin on yet, then he's not chayav on Shabbos, because that's a lack of Melechus Machshavas. That wasn't what his plan is. If his plan was to complete the letter, Bishlemusa, and he didn't yet complete it, so then he's going to be potter. If he wasn't planning on writing tagin, let's say he wasn't paid $1,000, he was paid $20, right? But the Evidika Parsha, and he wasn't planning on writing the tagin. So as long as the letter is kosher, he wrote on Shabbos. So there's no right for the Gemara. The fact that the Gemara says that you're not chayiv unless you put tagin on, that's not a proof positive that tagin are actually ma'akin. So it's actually a big machlek is a poskim in a rechayim and sinim la'mitvav and uchus tefillin. L'maisa, are tagin ma'akin or not? Even if you machmir the tagin are ma'akev, and the tefillin and the mezuzah the way they are apostle, the poskim are make or that you're allowed to add the tagin in on afterwards. What is significant about that? So that must be a din that tefillin and mezuzahs have to be written kisidron. You have to write the parasha from beginning to end in order. You can't write, well, I'll write a few words now, I'll stick down the end, I'll come back, I'll fix a letter here. But no. There's a din in that Torah that appears in the Mechilta. It's quoted by the Rishonim, Kuala Halach and Shulchan Aruch. It's not explicit in the Gemara. There are different opinions whether the Gemara is alluding to it, but it's a din that appears in the Tanoim, in the Mechilta, and it's quoted the Halach of Lishim Safik and Shulchan Aruch, that Tefillin and Mezuzahs have to be written Kisidra. That's why if there's a mistake made in Tefillin and Mezuzahs, and let's say the sofer realizes when he's finished that he forgot a letter or he messed up a letter, that's a big, big problem. And you can't fix it. And the old Tefillin Mezuzahs have to go into Sheamus because it must be written completely Kisidra. So the Rishonim explained that sometimes you can have a situation where a letter is written, and even though it's not kosher the way it is, but since the letter basically has what we call Tzura Sa'os, it's basically legible as that letter, even though it's not 100% correct up the halacha, and there may be certain components of the letter that are actually missing that disqualify the letter, even on level of the araisa. Nevertheless, it could be that it's still acceptable to fix that letter because the din of kisidron requires that the basic tzuras ha'osios have to be kisidron. If the basic tzuras ha'os is there, it's just that it's not kosher for some technical reason, so then it's very possible that it can be fixed afterwards. That's a very, very tricky hagadar. It appears in Rishonim, and in Shulchan Aruch, we accept that halacha. Then you have nuances of shittas as to where you draw the line. What's called a chisar of the etzem to us? Oh, so what's called just something which is almost a little bit tangential? So those are details that appear in Sibin Lamed Beis, Sibin Lamed Vav, and Uchus Tvilin, where the intricacies of Ilchus Ksivas Parashas appear. So one of the examples of something that even according to the Machmirim, that it is considered to be possible in the state that it's in, that's a letter that's missing tagin. You can't say there's no tzuras ha'os there. It is a shin. It looks like a shin. Any kid's going to read it as a shin. Everyone knows it's a shin. But the cipher forgot to put the three crowns on it. So with the average, you could probably fix those crowns on, put them on afterwards, even though the parishes are filled are required, but that Torah to be written kisidra. But get back to that story. So again, the Gemara says in Shabbos that if you wrote those seven letters of Shabbos gets without tagging, you're putter at Shabbos. So some Rishonim said, oh, the reason is because they're puzzle. Another Rishonim said, no, they're not puzzle. It's just that it wasn't Melechus Machshavas. You didn't do what you wanted to do. But now the question becomes, even though Zion is the apostle for Sefer Torah, who says that the definition of Ksiva for Sefer Torah is identical to the Ksiva for Shabbos? Some Rishonim say it. Some Rishonim say it on this Gemara. Some Rishonim bring a Raya from this Gemara. You see that you have to write the same standards you use for Ksiva Sefer Torah are the standards that you use for Shabbos. If that's true, so then the Rishonim extrapolate and say, well, just ask for Sefer Torah, you can't write a Sefer Torah in English. So two, you're not chayav in Shabbos if you write in English. So that's part of the theory from last week. So last week we had that whole theme in Rishonim, led by the Ozeru and others who said that Kosev Shabbos is only chayav in Ksav HaShiris. And one of the big sources for that sheet is this Gemara, that if you're really equating the standards of Kosev Shabbos to the standards of Ksivas Sefer Torah, so just as Sefer Torah requires tagin, so too Shabbos requires tagin. Just as Sefer Torah requires Hebrew, so too so too Shabbos requires Hebrew. And again, on the same Lahoyatvarme, the Gemara never said that. The Gemara just said that if and when you were planning on writing in a certain manner and you didn't complete the job, then you're going to be Patur in Shabbos. But if you're planning on writing without Tagin, so let's say you're planning on writing in English, so you're going to be Chayav even in English. So that's a big Machlekes Rishonim. So the Magen Avraham has an interesting argument. Magen Avraham suggests that even according to the Rishonim who say that you're not Chayav on Shabbos if you didn't put Tagin on, you're not Chayav on Shabbos unless the letters were perfect, like say, Torah standards, it could be you're still Chayav in English. How could English be more Chayav than Hebrew without Tagin? Very simple, says the Magen Avraham. Hebrew without Tagin is corrupted. Hebrew without Tagin is not the proper script. Hebrew without Tagin is an amateur job. It's not a kaysev in the language that you're trying to write. It's like writing, it's a half a letter. English, when you write English, you don't need Tagin. When you write English, English doesn't have Tagin on it. So therefore, English, it's a complete ABC, even without Tagin. The idea is, says the Magen Avraham, you have to write a letter that meets the standards of letters. How do you define letters? Whatever the Oilam Kazok, this is a letter. This is the right way of writing a letter. So if you see a guy writing a shin without Tagin, that's a corrupted shin. It's not a properly formed shin. You'll fail penmanship in first grade. I don't think they teach penmanship in first grade. I remember when I was in first grade, it wasn't that many years ago, we spent the half of first grade just learning how to form letters. I don't think any kids know how to form letters today. They know how to just press a button, it's called an A. So that's another time, another place. It says the Magen Avraham, if you form a half-baked letter in Lashon HaKodesh without Tagin, that's not called Kaisim and Shabbos. But if you write ABC, it looks like an ABC, so what are you talking for? So just because you're putter for writing half-baked letters in Hebrew does that, doesn't mean you're putter for writing in English. So at the end of the day, we're still not sure. We still don't know. What is the din? Halacha lemaisa, a guy writes in other languages. He writes, does his homework in English. What is the din? Is he Chayv and Shabbos or putter and Shabbos? So we have this view floating around in Rishonim, saying that he's a potter. It's not a deraisa, it's only a derabbanan. And then we have other Rishonim who say, L'hoi yitvami, I've never heard of such a thing. And the Gemara ben Shabbos about the Tagin is not a proof positive in either direction. So some of us can want to bring a raya from another area of Kaisiv. We've been talking about Kaisiv and Shabbos and Kaisiv and Tertul Mezuzahs. There's a third area of Kaisiv, and that's Hilchos Gittin. What's the status of Hilchos Gittin? Hilchos HaLasefer Krisos? Can you write again other languages? So the answer is yes, you can. The din is you can. We don't write Gittin in English. We write everything. We're only writing Sabashuri. We're very careful to write Gittin, or the letters are formed perfectly. We get a professional cipher in there. We want to make sure everything is like the way they've been giving Gittin for thousands of years. But theoretically, if you write the text of Gittin in English, the get would be kosher also. So some want to bring a riot. You see from here, there, the Shacharoth, the Paskin, and Ebenezer, that the Matur Eshazish based on an English get, the Ikra Din. So if a get can be written in other languages, how can you tell me a story that Shabbos requires Lashon HaKodesh? Why should Shabbos be any different than Gittin? So still not convincing. Still not an ironclad proof. Maybe one could argue that in order to be Chayav in Shabbos, two standards have to be met. Number one, it has to be called Kaisev. It has to meet the bare bone minimum of Kol Tarkov Kaisev. But in order to be Chayav in Shabbos, there's another component. The other component is it has to be Dumi the Mishkan. It has to be the same way it was written in the Mishkan. The Mishkan, they wrote Hebrew. In the Mishkan, they didn't write English, but Tzala was not proficient in writing English. So since in the Mishkan, the language that was used was Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, so it could be that in order to be Chayav and Shabbos, you have to write the Lashon HaKodesh as well. So even though it may meet the standards of Ksiv and Lashon for other areas of Halacha, it doesn't necessarily translate that it meets those standards for the Shabbos purposes.
Rabbi, the Hebrew writing that the Ptali used was identical to the Hebrew writing we're using?
That's a whole nother question. That's a very, very loaded halachic.
Wouldn't that be on the other side of the spectrum of the, you know, English side of, you know?
Right, that's a loaded question. That's a Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara quotes the Masechet Sanhedrin, not except Ivri and except Ashuri, about there were different scripts that existed in the ancient world. So the Gemara quotes one opinion that says that the Luchos, the original Sefer Torah, was written B'Ksav Ivri, not even B'Ksav Ashuri. It was all the same words. That was never a question. Nobody ever questioned that the Sefer Torah is identical to, it's like in theory, you could write a Sefer Torah using the block letters that we use, or you could use the Rashi letters, you could use what we call colloquial Hebrew script. It's all the same. It's all the same words. It's all the same tochen. But which letters exactly were the original, so it's the original Sefer Torah. So the Gemara quotes Machlekes Hatanoim. One Tana says that we have Ksav Ashuri, that was the original Sefer Torah. That's been around from day one. And there's another Tana that says, no, that the original Sefer Torah was written Miksav Ivri, and then it was switched to Miksav Ashuri. Who had a right? Who told them they were allowed to switch to Miksav Ashuri? So the Gemara's whole Drasha, it's actually based on this coming week's Pasha, and Pasha Shoftim. Gemara's a whole Tosha up there to explain why there was a certain time that they had permission to switch over the Miksavim. So that's a very, very loaded question. According to that opinion, that the Miksav switched. So how does that impact on some of the things that we're talking about? How does that impact when we speak about other Ksavim in contrast to Ksav Ashuri? Ksav Ashuri Gufa wasn't the quote unquote the official script. But that's also not clear. It's not clear in the Mishnayim also whether they also used Ksav Ashuri in the old days or they only used Ksav Ivri. So there's a lot of things that are very ambiguous within that Machlekes HaTeroev. It's not 100% clear what all that means. Henry, you'll appreciate this one. I asked Rav Asher Weitz this question at Yonatan's offer, right? It was in Florida, right? Yonatan's over in Florida. So remember, he was there for Shabbos when we were there. So I was sitting next to him at the meal. So I was thinking of different things that were on my mind that I thought would spur up a nice, fascinating conversation. So I asked Rav Asher Weitz about if he had any interesting viewer in the sugya and head, right? You know, kind of like a difficult sugya about the relationship between Ksav Ivri and Ksav Ashuri. And he responded to me that he wasn't holding the sugya to talk it out 100%. He didn't mean that he didn't know the sugya. He just meant that he was hesitating to give me a whole maruch on the sugya on the spot. But that was one of the few things I put him on the spot about. So everybody may remember, I put him on the spot about that. I put him on the spot about squeezing lemons on Shabbos into tea. We once had it out about that. Every once in a while, when I got him for a couple of minutes, so I tried to get him to try to get a list of things that have been sitting in my head for years and hear what he had to say about it. Anyway, back to the story. So by the way, how do we pass in this whole story? So the Mishtabura thinks that the overwhelming majority of Mishnah do not buy into this whole story. Even though I don't want to disappoint everyone, we've been learning this sugya for a week and a half already. And we've been spending a lot of time on the view of the Arzaruah and those Rishonim who maintain that Ksav Ashuri is not Ksav Ashuri, and there's no English, and no Spanish, no Japanese, no world, the language, everything is only with the Rabbanan. But the Mishnah Berurah says that the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim do not subscribe to that. And the simple reason the Mishnah doesn't say it, the Mishnah says, B'choloshim. Remember, we saw last week, we said that some say B'choloshim means only Greek, and some say B'choloshim means the difference between languages and scripts. The simple pshat of the Mishnah of Shabbos is a case of Choloshim Chayim means any in any shape or form that one writes on Shabbos one would be Chayim. There are some Rishonim who are forced into this position that you have to pass in Shalosh Shabbos and Chayim based on the way they read a certain Mishnah of Shabbos. The Mishnah speaks about a person writing different Samanim or Simanim, depending on how you pronounce the Mishnah, writing different kinds of a Simanim. You would be chayav on Shabbos. What exactly are the different simanim? So the Rambam writes that the different simanim that Chazal are referring to are numerals, not even letters. If a person writes numerals, so whether they were Roman numerals, Chazal referring to Arabic numerals, the Rambam's talking about the letters that we're familiar with. If you write 35, you wrote the letter, the number 3 and the letter 5, it's yechayav on Shabbos. It's not an os, it's not a letter, it's not a 35, it's not a word. But it's the numeral 3 is indicative of a message, and the numeral 5 is indicative of a message. So the two numerals together are conveying a message of the number 35. No different than that, you write the aleph, you write letter tough. So you wrote the word S. So you conveyed a message, two letters worth, two symbols worth. So the Rambam writes, that's what it means, the kosher shnei simanim is going to be chayav. So if that's the case, if you're chayav for writing numerals, so for sure chayav for other languages, Roman numerals did not exist in the days of Bezalel. I think we can say that with pretty much confidence. I don't think that the Arabic numerals existed. I can say that also with confidence. So the numbers that we have, how they wrote numbers in the days of Bezalel, I have no idea. But if a kosef shai simanim is chayav, so kavachemi write ABC chayav. But it's interesting to note that not only should have learned that a kosef simanim even refers to numerals. Rashi interprets it to mean simanim, like you wrote in different inks, you wrote in different colors. So the guy has different markers. So he writes his name one in one letter black, one in green, one in purple, one in red. So I would have thought that maybe they're not mitzarif together. No, you're chayv in any code that you write. It doesn't mean any numeral that you write. Of course, it's got to be shkav shur squared to some. But it can be, it does have to be in black ink. It can be in other colors inked as well. So whatever it is, we don't have an absolute ironclad riot from a Mishnah, from a Gemara. We have a lot of Rishonim, but again, Mishnah Berurah is pretty, pretty convinced that the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim do not buy into this idea of getting away with other languages being only the Rabbanim. One of the big sources that supported that view that we probably reject was the Gemara we mentioned last week, was that Gittin, that if a person wants to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew, so then the din is that be trouble again? It just started? I'm not sure what the... I'm not sure what the... Why does that be problems today? How is it now? Any better or no?
It's a bit better now.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not doing anything fundamentally different than the past. I don't know why we're getting this problem.
Now it's fine.
Now it's fine. Maybe I should stay in one place. Tie myself down. Okay. So just give me again. Start waving again loud and clear if you rent the problems. So that one Gemara in the first part of Gittin that really got the ball rolling when the Gemara said you want to buy a house from a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael. So you're allowed to have the non-Jew do the signing. You bring along your lawyer, your agent, non-Jewish lawyer to sign for you, and that's okay. So the Gemara says, why is it okay? Because Misha Eretz Yisrael, they were makil. So the Ruach said, they never would have been makil to violate a deraisa, even if they are non-Jew. But Misha Eretz Yisrael must be. It's only derabbanan because it's other languages, other ksavim. So we don't really buy into that. We don't really accept that. So what is Pshat in that Gemara? So the answer to that Gemara most probably is, the Yishev Eretz Yisrael is an exception to the rule that they will matter even Isurim Geraisa. I think about it, not even Yisrael. I can't file an excuse to buy a house in Rechavia. But if we want to buy a house from a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, that's such a mitzvah, such a tremendous mitzvah, that Chazal is willing to completely forego Amir Yaakov. A real Amir Yaakov, I can ask a non-Jew to write, he to write English, to write Hebrew, to write any language, everything is mutter, because Mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael goes to Rabbanan. So you have to say that, otherwise fall back to the position that Shaykh Sabim was on the Rabbanim, which you don't want to do. So the halacha that we follow the view that Shaykh Sabim is the Araisa, this would be important, sometimes people in the medical professions end up being in a situation where they have to write on Shabbos. This is less of an issue now. Many things are done on computers now, but sometimes even now, or in olden, not that long ago, a lot of things charged, a lot of things had to be done by my hands, with pen. That becomes the whole question. So if some medical information accurate is a pekuach nefesh, yeah, you have to enter the person's results, whatever it is. Some could die from a mistake, a medical sense. But sometimes it's not pekuach nefesh. Sometimes it's not so pressing. So what can be done, if anything? So there was always this thought out there that, well, if you held like those, we showed it, the child shows it anyway. So then he's stupid on, he's not to play around a little bit. So I don't think we should take that attitude. We shouldn't take the attitude that we're only dealing with the derabban. We have to take the attitude we're dealing with a real bona fide deraisa with writing the chaloshin. There may be other ways out, maybe other ways to minimize it. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. Baksiva Shenosha Kayama, there was a device made in Eretz Yisrael that these the Shabbos pens, that the ink doesn't last all that long. So again, I don't know how much of these things are even used anymore, but years ago, they had these kinds of pens that were a little more temporary kind of writing, or this writing, and other eitzes that may be around when we're dealing with things that may fall short of absolute pure pikuach nefesh. And the truth is, even in the realm of pikuach nefesh, we said many times, even when something is really bona fide pikuach nefesh, you have to try to do it kliach hayah. If you're able to, without causing any danger, you can do it in an abnormal fashion. Try to do it. So rather than going down the route of just taking that, that approach that, well, English is only to run anywhere, therefore everything goes, that's probably not the correct approach. The Ruba, the Rishayim do not side with that view. So we have to really treat other languages as being deraisa, and I have to figure out, other ways, if and when it's necessary, to mitigate it from being a real bona fide issa deraisa. I think I've told the story over in the past, I didn't tell it over yet, in this Sugya, that the first time that I was introduced to this concept, that there exists a shita that holds that writing in other languages is a derabbanan, but I was barely soon after my bar mitzvah that the Rebbe was telling us the following, that it was the Rebbe was trying to impress upon us that we shouldn't be going to movies. That was the goal of the shmuz. But the way it was presented, I thought it was a little bit bizarre in halacha. He threw out the following question. He said, which is a bigger avera, to do your English homework on Shabbos or to go to the movies? Innocent kids will say, oh, come on, Rebbe, that's the silliest question in the world. We didn't say that, but that's what we all thought. Of course, going and doing your homework on Shabbos, that's everyone knows writing on Shabbos is much more serious. We go to the movie, come on, you're allowed to go to the movies. So he said, no. He said, writing your English homework on Shabbos, going to some show is only the Rabbana. They're going to the movies, that's it, this is the rice of the holidays. That's what he said. Now, again, I am not here to advocate going to the movies. I'm not an advocate for the English homework on Shabbos, but I do not think that was an absolute correct halachic analysis. I don't think he meant it as a sheer halach. I think he tried to scare the boys a little bit. So, yes, it's true that certain movies would be awesome, that's correct. And to say, yes, it's true, there is a minority of Yerushalayim that doing your English homework would be a derabbanan, but I do not think that is a correct statement. Okay, Rub the Yerushalayim hold that doing your English homework is a deraisa. I'm not going to comment on Ruben the movies. I don't know enough about that, so we'll leave it at that. But Ruben the Rishonim that doing English over the Shabbos, I can comment on it. It would be an incident, right? Okay. So now we move on in terms of Lechaz Kosev and talking a little bit more about the relationship of Kosev as it plays out in terms of Lechaz Shabbos and how it relates to Kosev with other areas of Halacha. And once again, we bump into Sefer Torah Tzvi Mezuzah. We've said many times, whenever you learn a malacha, you have to look at its counterparts in other areas of halacha. So here you have to learn a little bit of sugyas related to Ksiba Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzahs to see how it may or may not impact the Lechaz Shabbos. So there is a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, also in the Perek Haboneh, where the Gemara talks about a person forming letters, according to writing, in Chayav Kosev at Shabbos, even though he didn't actually add any ink to the parchment. What he did, rather, was actually remove some ink. He removed some D.O. And by doing so, he formed letters. How do you do that? The verse is very, very simple. If you have a ches, and if you think the lesson began Aliyah, look carefully at a ches. So a ches in the Sefer Torah is basically two Zions with a crown, a little shmichik on top, a crown that's connecting the two. So I say two Zions because that's what the meaning of Sefer Torah is Sabbath Yosef. There are several different minhagim with different ksavim in halacha. All the ksavim we pass get a kosher. They're all basically 99.9% the same. But there are a few noticeable differences in the different minhagim of ksav. Again, we pass get another ma'akev, but there are slight differences. One of the differences is how the letter ches is formed. So when we quote this as a standard Ashkenazi Sefer Torah, it's strange because standard Ashkenazi Sefer Torah uses Ksav Beis Yosef. That may sound a little bit bizarre, but that's what it is. That we use the traditions that the Beis Yosef quotes, which have become the really, really the standard practice in regular Ashkenazi communities, Ksav Beis Yosef, in contrast to what's called Ksav Ari. Ksav Ari is used by the Hasidim. It's a nuance of difference. Again, a person who's not trained to know the difference, they wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Like if I asked you, is it given Sefer Torah in the Shul, Ksav Beis Yosef, Ksav Ari, many people wouldn't even know the difference. But if you know what you're looking for, then you'll notice a couple of differences here and there. And there's a third Ksav called Ksav Pelesh, which is used more by the real Sfarim. So I always found it a strange thing. The word Pelesh sounds more of a Yiddish word than a Sfarim word, and that's the one that the real Sfarim use. Beis Yosef, Beit Yosef sounds more Sfarim. That's one of the Ashkenazim. So, again, I'm not sure how that happened exactly. But those are the three Ksav. Of the three standing sub in existence in the world today. Ksav Beis Yosef, that's used by most Ashkenazim. There's a Ksav Ari that's used by Hasidim, and then there's Ksav Pelesh that's used by some of the real Sfaradim. So one of the differences between Ksav Beis Yosef and Ksav Ari is the forming of the letter Ches. And in Ksav Beis Yosef, the Ches is made up of two Zions with a crown between them. In Ksav Ari, it's made up with a Zion and a Vav. It means the left one is a Zion, but the right leg is a Vav. Above a design, a little bit different. The Zion is squared on top, above is round on top. So if you next time you get an Aliyah, you look carefully, if you can see through the plastic or the glass or the plastic, whatever you can see through. So take a look and see whether you'll notice whether the top of the chest is rounded or squared. That'll be a dead giveaway whether it's Ksav or Riksav. There are other easier ways to tell also. Another easy way to tell is when you look at all the letters of Shabbos gets. So the letters that require tagging, so does the left head of the letters that are shitting with three heads or nine heads, so is the left head to look at the tagging, is that formed as Did the leg of the head go into the middle of the head, or did the leg of the head go into the outermost edge of that head? That's another way of telling. And then the easiest way, in case you're interested in finding out what these different terms are, the easiest way to look at the tzaddiks. And the tzaddiks in Sabbath Yosef, so the back leg goes in the same direction as the front. They're both facing the same direction. And in the Ksavari, so it's actually facing backwards. So whether the two heads, if you think about the two heads of the tzaddik, whether they go in this direction or they're going in that direction. This is not Pikabala. This is not Pikabala. And I don't know anything about what any of these things mean. I'll share with you quickly in case you're interested. That the two heads of the tzaddik, so in the Sifra Kabbalah, are somehow supposed to be connected other than Chava. So the question is about the Chava and pointing in the same direction, pointing in different directions. So the Gemara says that it was Chayim Achet Olachar Achet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created other than Chava. They're like one unit is supposed to be pointing, they're supposed to be heading in the same direction. Where they're, if it's the Achar Achet, then they're going already in different directions. So it's a little bit up to come again. This is way beyond anyone's regular rational understanding. Up beside whether the head of the tzaddik is supposed to be indicative of the way the world was supposed to be created, where the world might is now. I guess different marriages, different ways. Depending on whether you and I get along and a greasy eye on things, we have to switch it to the same term as others. So some are going both the same direction, some are going in the opposite direction. So whatever it is, nothing. That was a joke, but not the real partnership. So the bottom line is that the Gemara describes that a ches is made up of two letters. Even if it's made up of two zayins, it's made up of a zayin and above, the Shemanagin. But it's clearly made up of two letters with a crown in the middle. The Gemara says in Shabbos, if you simply take a ring of like cut through the crown, you just made yourself two letters. So let's say you wanted to write the word zaz, moved. So instead of wasting ink and writing the word zaz, it's easy. I got an extra ches, I don't need that word ches there. I'll just take a razor blade and cut out the crown. So I just formed the two letters of Zaz. So the Gemara says, guess what? Chayev and Shabbos, you were just Kaisiv. He says, yes, you wrote two letters. So Chayev and Shabbos, you're Kaisiv twice. Yes. And the Gemara says, there are other ways to write letters with removing things and not adding ink to. Let's say, for example, I'm going to write a letter Resh. It happens to me that there's a dollar that I have a mother dollar. I want it to be a Resh. So instead of completely erasing the dollar and writing a Resh, very simple. I take my razor blade and I cut out the part of the dollar that's protruding in the back, and I patch it around a little bit, and sure, I just made a reish. Well, let's say I want to turn a base into a cuff. So you just remove the little square at the top, you remove the little part of the bottom that's jutting out, and sure, you now have a cuff. So you can form letters from erasing parts of pre-existing letters. So Gemara says, that's called Kesev Shabbos. If you do that, two letters, you'll be Chayav Shabbos. So come to Rashba on that sugya and says, wait a second, why are you Chayav Shabbos? That's not called Kaisev in other areas of Halacha, such as in Hilchos Sefer Torah. The thing is in Hilchos Sefer Torah, if you would form a letter that way, imagine you want to write the word, the letter Chaf, you want to write the word Kol, and we stay in your days. So if you're, what a waste. So instead of me wasting all my time and erasing it and rewriting it, I'll just shape it out a little bit, shave off some of the edges, and I'll have left with me a beautiful, well, shaped, rounded off chaf. So that letter is possible in a Torah. Why is that? What's wrong with the letter? It looks like a chaf now. What's the problem? Because I didn't form that letter by writing it. I formed that letter by removing ink. That's called halacha chak teiches. When you form a letter by removing something rather than putting something onto the letter itself, when you're simply removing rather than putting something on, that's called chak teiches. And chaptochos is not acceptable. Where did that thing come from? How do you know if each thing? The Gemara can't do chaptochos. So we have a lot of work to do in this. I'll answer next week. We have to pick up on this to figure out what exactly the problem of chaptochos specific Torah, how that problem spills over to chashapas if it does, and then to relook at our general question. The basic question that's been permeating the last 2 weeks now is, what is the relationship between specific Torah, tefillin mezuzahs, gittin, and chashapas? So we're going to use this hopefully next week is a little bit of a springboard to try to get a little bit of a better understanding what the definition of ksiva is in so many different areas of Allah. Okay, we'll see you next time.